This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The primary election is less than a month away, and congressional candidates are making their final pushes to convince voters. And for some office hopefuls, a win or a loss at the ballot box may have more to do with the flow of outside money than with their abilities to shake hands and kiss babies. We're having a series of conversations with candidates in the 2nd District, and today we want to look at some of the other hot races in the state. So we're going to look at a few of the House races with political junkie Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Frank. It's not the same. We're not in the same room together. It's just not the same.
I know you look much smaller than you did last time when you were sitting across from me.
I know you mean that in a nice way.
And somehow better. No, that's not right. Hey, listen, 3rd District race, eastern part of the state. Tell us about it.
Well, this is interesting. I mean, it's a solidly Republican seat. This is the seat that Walter Jones Jr., now he's 71 years old, but he's still Walter Jones Jr. because a lot of us remember, some of us remember his father, also, ironically known as Walter Jones Sr. But of course, Walter Jones Sr. was a Democrat. Walter Jones Jr. is a Republican, but not Republican enough for many establishment Republicans. He is, I mean, once upon a time, the only way we knew him, the only thing we knew about him was that he supported changing French fries in the House cafeteria to Freedom Fries.
That's right.
But now, really, he's best known as one of the Republican Party's most isolationist members of Congress. He strongly opposed the Iraqi war. He backed Ron Paul for president. And he's not strong enough on Israel for many Republicans. So he's getting a big challenge from a guy named Taylor Griffin, who is the ultimate establishment guy, a longtime member of the D.C. Establishment, former aide to President Bush. He was a big spokesman for John McCain in 2008. And, you know, a lot of times we're talking around the country, we're talking about how Tea Party challengers are challenging the establishment. This is actually the opposite. This is an establishment candidate challenging somebody who's embraced by the Tea Party.
Well, and he's going to have to run away from that that image as an insider. But as you suggest, here's a guy who grew up, basically, who made his career inside the Beltway doing kind of consulting and PR. And that, I guess, is the campaign that Walter Jones would like to run. He'd like to paint him as yet another politics-as-usual insider.
And yes, and Walter Jones probably also disagrees with the premise that he's the most liberal Republican in the House. Of course, I think there was the Washington Post that called him the most pro-Obama Republican in the House. But he said, look, I'm strongly anti-abortion. I'm very strong on deficits. I am an ultimate, a true conservative and true to constitutional principles. And what Jones is saying is that the rest of the Republican Party has become this interventionist Republican Party that is moving away from longtime conservative principles.
And this is a race where outside money matters. Americans for Prosperity, conservative PAC, has thrown their support behind Jones, running radio ads like these in Greenville and New Bern.
From Beaufort to Greenville, Jacksonville to Elizabeth City, Eastern Carolina's worried. More than 473,000 in North Carolina have lost their health plans. Others wonder how they'll pay the higher costs. And many still fear what these changes mean for their families. It seems like Washington just ignores us. On healthcare, on wasteful spending, on so many important things. Washington puts politics before people. But not our Congressman Walter Jones. He listens to us, understands what we're going through, and puts people first.
There you have it. By the way, Ken, a clear cue that this was done by outsiders is that the narrator said Greenville and not Greenville. Well, I just want to point that out. Clearly,
a very good
clearly this was done somewhere else. But go ahead.
I know. I was just thinking that as I was having my Worcester sauce on my food just the other day. But that's exactly true. I mean, we don't hear about Iraq. We don't hear about Israel. What we're hearing in this Walter Jones commercial is that he is standing up for his constituents regarding the Affordable Care Act, opposition to Obamacare. And the thing on Jones from the beginning is whatever you think about his ideology, he is known for strong constituent service.
Which was what Jesse Helms was famous for as well.
He was, absolutely. And, matter of fact, Jesse Helms is a name that has come up a bunch of times. Taylor Griffin trying to sound more North Carolinian than he is a Washington, D.C.ian. So he's talking about the fact that he was a staffer for Jesse Helms. And in the Republican Party of North Carolina, Helms remains one of the most revered people in the history of the party.
Well, for Griffin to sound like an insider, he will perhaps have to run away from ads like these. Let's listen.
Congressman Walter Jones once was a conservative, but he's changed. Today, he's the most liberal Republican in Congress. He preaches American decline. He opposes sanctions on Iran. He's endorsed by an anti-Israel group and even refused to support a resolution declaring America's support for Israel. Once upon a time, Walter Jones was right for North Carolina, but he's changed. Isn't it time your vote changed as well?
Well, you know, this is a perfect example of the definition of the debate going on in the Republican Party over foreign policy. And of course, James Carville will famously say that it is the economy, stupid, and that the economy is what will determine elections. But this is a battle going on in the Republican Party. And that's why many Republicans are pushing for the Jeb Bushes of the world or even the Chris Christies of the world, because they think that Rand Paul, following the footsteps of his father, Ron Paul, is getting a foothold in the Republican Party, a much more isolationist foreign policy. And that's something that many in the Republican Party is opposed. Bill Kristol, who rarely gets involved in intra-party primaries, rarely wants to see a Republican congressman defeated, but he's clear that he wants Jones beaten because of foreign policy.
By the way, the previous clip was the Emergency Committee for Israel that made the buy for that ad. The 6th District covers parts of 10 counties, very, very full field. That's the seat held by Congressman Howard Coble, who's retiring. Tell us about that race.
Well, again, just like the 3rd District we just talked about, the 6th District is solidly Republican. Howard Coble never had a problem in all the years he's been in the Congress. There are 9 Republicans running in the May 6th primary, so it could very well go be forced into a July runoff, because you need 40% of the vote to avoid a runoff. But all attention on the beginning has been on Phil Berger Jr., another junior running for office. And, of course, his famous father is the Senate pro tem. State Senator Pro Tem, who is a big powerhouse in Republican politics in North Carolina. So I think when people look at the name Phil Berger on the ballot, they think of his father, and that can't hurt Berger. But Berger has, for better or worse, been in the national news lately because of a constituent who asked him about his views on same-sex marriage. And Phil Berger said, look, I was a longtime proponent of Amendment 1. I believe in traditional marriage and things like that. And when this person pressed Phil Berger, he said that gay marriage to him was like a man marrying a dog. Now, there have been very controversial statements said by many candidates about the issues of same-sex marriage, but this may be one of the more interesting comments I've heard so far.
All right. The 7th District, Woody White, a Wilmington attorney, 2 opponents in the primary. Tell us about them.
Well, here's the thing. This is, you know, right now, I mean, it's just remarkable what's happened to North Carolina politics. I was just thinking of Mel Watt, who's in another district, and we'll talk about that district in a bit. But Mel Watt, when he was elected to Congress in 1992, 8 of the 12 members of the House were Democrats. Right now, 9 of the 13 members of Congress in North Carolina are Republicans. And with Mike McIntyre retiring this year, I think this is going to be a certain Republican pickup, too. Mike McIntyre barely won re-election in 2012. He beat David Rauser by just the narrowest of margins. And Rauser said, OK, I'm back for more. But there were some Republicans who said, look, McIntyre was right for the taking in 2012. Mitt Romney did very well in the district. Romney won it with 59% of the district, solid Republican. We should have beaten him. If David Rauser couldn't do it, maybe we want another candidate. So David Rauser was basically saying, OK, McIntyre is retiring in 2014. I'll run again and I'll win this seat. And of course, that was the expectation among most political observers. But then comes this Woody White guy who says, look, if they couldn't beat Mike McIntyre in 2012, when Mitt Romney was carrying the district with 59% of the vote, solid Republican in the district, maybe we need a better candidate. And there are other Republicans who agree. Mike Huckabee, who may or may not be running for president in 2016. Mike Huckabee is on the Woody White bandwagon. So, you know, this still is going to be a Republican pickup in November. I'm pretty confident of that. But I'm no longer confident whether it's going to be David Rauser. Rauser has a tough primary battle with Woody White.
And here's White making the repeal of Obamacare a central part of his campaign.
We're $17 trillion in debt, and Obamacare is a disaster. I'm a conservative who will stand up for our values and God-given liberties. I'll repeal Obamacare, oppose amnesty for illegal immigrants, and never stop fighting Obama's attacks on North Carolina.
Now, here's the thing. Obamacare now is really ensuring millions of people who didn't have it before, people with pre-existing conditions, can now get health care. And the computer glitches have been fixed. Is this still getting traction?
Oh, it absolutely is. And of course, for all the people say that, well, you know, this is great because we didn't have, we couldn't get insured because of pre-existing conditions in the past. Opponents will say, yes, but your premiums are going to quadruple. They'll skyrocket in 2014, 2015. So the debate clearly goes on. It's going to be a big issue in not only the Kay Hagan Senate race, but the battle for control of the Senate and House in November. And it's a big issue in the Republican Party as well.
All right, Ken, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Frank.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie, and we have more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Mary Roach takes a close look at what happens to your food after you eat it. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.